Fellow St. Georgians near and far, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and Happy New Year, day 88 of our year of the Bible, and the last, for me, the last one from the Vermont edition, looking at part of 1 Samuel 22 through 24. I just want to mention a couple of things about it, not a ton this morning, just to point out. Remember that David, when we talk about David, we're talking about the forefather of Jesus. We're talking about the main person in the Old Testament who is the foreshadowing of Jesus. David, not perfect by any means, very much a human being, but one who is presented, again, not as perfect, but with some things that sort of definitely point forward in a partial way to who Jesus is going to be. Anyway, so at the beginning of chapter 22, David gets some people around him, and this is the first time we've seen him sort of start to act in this kind of way. For the whole time that we've had David in this story, he's been, I mean, not even a transitional figure. I mean, he's still been, you know, we still think about, oh, King David, but he's still the shepherd, you know, he's still the shepherd and the musician. He's, he doesn't go to war with Saul right away. Like literally with him, he doesn't go to war with him right away. His brothers do. He goes back and forth, right? Like he's still the one. This is the first time, you know, even after killing Goliath, he's still not sort of a force, like his own force to be reckoned with. However, at the beginning of chapter 22, you see him sort of mustering an army. And who is this army? Who are the people that come around him? First of all, there are not a ton of them. There are 400 of them. But it says, those who are in distress or in debt or discontented gathered around him. You could look at this a couple different ways. One is to say, who is it that was around him? Rogues, right? Distressed, discontented, or, you know, but another is that the people who were bad off and, right, needed a savior, are the ones who ended up around Jesus. And sorry, those who ended up around David, and those who were invested in the status quo, were not, even though David is the one, you know, who had the Spirit of the Lord upon him. So, anyway, just wanted to point that out. I'm not going to go through the whole thing. There's a lot of it. Doeg the Edomite is particularly terrible, working for Saul, and this is one of the Doeg the Edomite, at Saul's command, kills like 85 priests who wore the linen ephod. I mean, you know, 85 of the priests who served at the altar of the Lord, and he also put to death all of their men and women, children and infants, cattle, donkeys, and sheep. Children and infants. I looked, and I believe, it's at least unusual to mention the infants in this kind of way, and it's got to be pointing out sort of the inhumanity of it. This is what, under Saul, the Israelites are doing to each other. All right, so that's not good. You can and that is very much contrasted by what we see in David at the rest. The most famous incident, sort of episode, between David and Saul is when Saul, here in, I don't know, it was 23 or 24, Saul is coming after David and has to take care of some business in a cave. And if he goes in goes in there, nobody's gonna go with him. He's got to do his own business in a cave, and David's men are there. David's troops are there. They're hiding out, and David is faced. It's not looking at his face, but David is there with this man who's trying to kill him within arm's length, or I should say within sword's length, right? David could solve his problems at that moment by killing Saul. And it's a really fascinating, he sits there, okay, hold on, I just want to get it. All right, so Saul comes in. David's men say, "Hey, now's the time, man. Like you could take care of the Saul business right there." He crept up. It says David crept up unannounced and cut off a corner of Saul's robe. Right, cut off a corner of Saul's robe, showing how close he was to Saul. But he doesn't kill Saul, doesn't threaten him, doesn't even let him know it's there. And he goes back to his men. He chastises them for wanting him to do it. Why? Because whatever else is true of Saul, he was anointed by the Lord. And whatever the plans for David are, David is not going to achieve them by breaking the law of the Lord. He's not going to put a hand against the Lord's anointed if he can help it. And so he doesn't do it. He cuts off a corner of his robe. Now he goes up to Saul later and says, "Look, I've got this corner of your robe here. I could have killed you, but I didn't. Why are you after me? I didn't do anything to you. I'm insignificant to you. I spared you." He says, "Who have you come out against? A dead dog, a flea?" Meaning himself. You don't need to be afraid of me. I'm not trying to come after you. And there's a minute of reproachment, but it won't last. But that's a very famous scene there, where David cuts off a little piece of Saul's robe. David is going to. You see in David a struggle that I think is common to all of us. You know, in the messy world that we live in, which is not clear, you know, all the time, you know, what is it that we're supposed to do in any one moment, in any one situation? You know, what is it that the Lord's calling us to do? And it's hard. It can be hard to figure it out. It can be hard to know. David saw Saul and saw one that whatever else was true was the Lord's anointed. Now, he wasn't going to let Saul just kill him, right? He wasn't going to deny his own calling, but he wasn't going to kill Saul even when given the opportunity. So David gave his oath to Saul at the end of chapter 24, and spares him. Again, we see a bit of foreshadowing of Jesus here. There's something else we saw as foreshadowing Jesus in this section, but I can't remember what it was. Of who King David is and the law of the Lord. Last thing I want to say about it, though, is that I think it's, I can't remember which psalm it is. I don't have it in front of me. There's a psalm in the Psalter from while David is hiding in the cave, hiding from Saul. Anyway, when we get to it, I'm sorry, I don't have it in front of me. We're leaving Vermont this morning, and we got to get out of here. Hold on, the dog's running away. I'll point that out when we get to it. I think maybe it's like 26 or something. But we'll figure it out. Anyway, it's just funny to think about Saul hiding in the cave, finishing up the psalm, finishing writing the psalm as as Saul is, you know, was he finishing the last stanza of the psalm as Saul, he hears Saul come into the cave? Who knows? The reason, again, it's good and interesting is in that moment of sort of risk and hiding out, who does David go to? Does he go to his, you know, military commanders or his strategist or any of these people and try to, you know, figure out what's the best military advantage they can get? No, he goes to the Lord. He goes to the Lord and you know, says the situation, asks for help, asks for guidance, and that kind of thing. May we all do so in those moments, right? Like, may we all go to the Lord and say, I don't know what the best thing to do in this situation is. I'm not getting, you know, a sign from heaven. I'm not getting some clear, you know, instruction here. Help me out. I know, God, that you are sovereign over the earth. I know that you are all good. I know that the law of the Lord is good for my own flourishing, is good for me. So help me follow the law of the Lord, you know, and just go to God and ask for guidance, not instead of, you know, looking for practical guidance, but in addition to, you know, sort of as the thing that guides everything else. Anyway, we'll leave that there for now and look forward to being back in Pennsylvania and continuing with our Year of the Bible. So let us pray. O God, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, see you again, finishing my last dog walk of the Vermont trip. Walking the dog is my favorite thing to do when we're here. I know it doesn't seem like something fancy, but it's a good time. So, last one. See you back at the ranch. Talk to you tomorrow.